Today's segment of Sound Balming is brought to you by Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care. I cannot express to you how much we love, love, love their products. Although we use them all year, as the weather gets colder, we need these products even more. The dreaded drop in temperature, the dryness, the itchiness, and the unnecessary flakiness is inevitable. Shea Butter from Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care is the only thing that works for my skin and hair needs. Not only do these products cure my dry skin, the whipped butter goes on smoothly and doesn't leave that uncomfortably thick, sticky residue. Bonus? It smells absolutely amazing. There are so many different scents to choose from too. Not only do they carry skincare products, there are products for authentic living, face, shower, hair and beard, spritzers and perfumes, and bath products. Let me tell you, we cannot even keep the stuff in the studio. The entire production team, as well as all our children, use Jimmy and Mary's product. Jimmy and Mary's take pride in creating quality, handcrafted products from simple ingredients for the entire family. Their products are made for all skin types and are 100% handmade, 100% vegan, and 100% cruelty-free. Skincare is important. Moisture is key, and keeping our skin and hair hydrated is essential. I cannot emphasize how much we trust Jimmy and Mary's for all of our skincare needs. Hurry on up to jimmyandmarys.com and check out their products. Did I mention service is fast and efficient too? Don't forget to mention that you heard about Jimmy and Mary's authentic skincare on Sound Balming. Use the discount code SOUNDBALM20 to get 15% off. That's SOUNDBALM20 for 15% off at Jimmy and Mary's authentic skincare.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Balming. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We come to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show,
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of the day it is. Welcome to my show. I'm your host, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, in the building. Yes, I am always in the building because it is cold as heck outside, and I am in the building, and I'm going to stay in the building. I am the creator of Sound Balming, and my goal with this show is to introduce you to people with the ideas that would help you unlock your full potential, like my last guest, Carolyn Colleen, all the way from Minnesota, who talked about going from fear to focus. And today we're going to talk about how do we then get focused? How do we get focused on our hair, our lifestyle, our books, and our writing? And I'm so excited about this show today. So let's get started. The expression of beauty through hairstyles has been a long-standing signature of Black culture. From the fro to hair wraps to braids to Black women using their hairstyles as personal expression, who they are, and to show off the evolution of Black culture over time, an evolution which has brought us to a time when more Black women are embracing their natural beauty of their own hair. However, it does not escape the controversy. Beauty, and specifically hair in the Black culture, has been a sensitive topic of discussion for Black decades, for Black roots, all the way back to the civil rights movement and beyond. Recently, the connection between hair and identity has once again gained attention and garnered much debate within the Black community. Shea Moisturize, a Black-owned hair company, has found itself in the middle of this debate after launching a new ad campaign. Since its founding, the company dedicated itself to providing its consumers, specifically Black women, with the range of natural products to span all types of hairstyles. Well, to help understand the emotional significance of hair and Black identity and culture, I invited a whole tribe, as you can see, the entire tribe, the JFam Johnson family, the name of the collective of creatives ranging, as you can see, from 4 to 13 and older than that. The 8 siblings that make up this eccentric group of young creators are Emmanuel Johnson, Abigail Johnson, Elizabeth, Jael, Phoebe Johnson, Sarah, Nevaeh, KY Johnson, Judah, H Johnson, Joshua, SB Johnson, and I'm sure I might have missed somebody, but they represent the JFam Johnson family. They decide to do more for one another, to support one another, and that's what siblings do. And their mission is to educate and empower. Did you hear me say empower Black and brown girls and boys, but Black and brown boys and girls, by promoting a self-awareness and self-acceptance? JFam Johnson's debuts publication, Hip Hop Hair, is an Amazon, did you hear me? Amazon best-selling, has reached number one since its release in children's art history books, children's rap hip-hop books, and children's music books. And if you know about me, I love hair. I love hip-hop. I love to see these Black and brown babies sitting right in front of me. JFam Johnson, are you in the building? Make some noise. First of all, to get you all together, and I look at the dad, he's just like, I just sit here. I don't do anything. I just hold this one right here, because you don't know, Brother Shields, this one would just run off my lap real quick. Brother, I feel your pain. Welcome. Let's celebrate Black History Month in the building. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. We are celebrating our culture, and we are here celebrating you all. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, you all sound like a group, like a choir, a dance group, a theater group, an intellectual group. So I know to get you all up early, to get you all dressed. I done talked to your mama, Miss Former track athlete and star, now turned entrepreneur with her husband and her partner backing. So I talked to the mom. But Dad, how you doing, brother?
Good, good, good.
How you feel with this tribe right there, man?
Empowered.
Such a great word. Well, let me just tell you, young people, let me just thank you all for hanging out with me. It is Saturday morning. I don't know what your morning routine is, but if you got some Black and brown parents, it usually involves playing some music and cleaning up that house. So you probably just happy just to be with me right now. You're like, I don't care what we're going to talk about, but as long as I have to clean up, as long as I have to do anything, let me just talk to Brother Shields. So family, welcome, welcome. Let our listeners know where you are calling in from, and then let's just do a check-in, mom and dad. Where you all are calling in from, and how are you guys doing?
Call it in from Baltimore, Maryland, by way of Jackson, Wyoming.
By way of Jackson, be more in the building, the home of the Ravens. So let's get down to it. Why did you all decide to write this book? Now, before we jump into that, I want to talk about one of my favorite films, Napoli Harry Ever After, starring Sanaa Lathan. And one of the reasons I like this book, not just about hair, but you all are going to appreciate this. My daughter and I, Samira Shields, had these braids in her hair. And it was just the two of us here. Her mom wasn't here. Her brother wasn't here. And her sister was not here. And it was just the two of us here. And I came up with this idea, Dad. I want to start with you, Dad. And I said, you know what? Let's watch this movie. Great movie by Sanaa Lathan. We're going to show a clip from the movie shortly. Great movie by Sanaa Lathan. And I said, this is a great opportunity for me to take my daughter's hair down and have a conversation with her. Now, I know mom knows, because every Black woman I dated, y'all done got burns right here by this ear, by that neck. You had to sit between your mama's leg, those legs really, really tight, and they're holding you really, really tight. I want to experience that with my own child. So I decided to watch the movie, take her braids down. Now, I wasn't prepared, Dad. This whole left side, I didn't work that left side out, and that was tearing me up. Then I tried to switch on the other side because she wasn't sitting in between my legs watching the movie. She wanted to help her do it. So I can feel some of your pain just for the movie was about an hour and 50 minutes. So I felt the pain then. But talk to me, Mom, why did you encourage your kids to write this book? And then kids, why did you want to write the book? And it might have been the reverse. They might have encouraged you to do it or vice versa. But Mom, why did you all decide to write this book?
Right. Well, you were right with the latter statement. The children decided that they wanted to do something positive. So when COVID hit, everyone knows 2020 brought on a lot of different things. And it was more than just the pandemic that hit and affected so many families. It was school closures, job losses. So everyone was being affected by in some way or another because of the pandemic. So my husband and I, we noticed some things with our children that, you know, there were some changes, maybe a little bit more arguing than usual. You know, they were anxious and things like that. So we just sat down and we talked with them, and the children decided to come up with this idea of adding something positive, you know, in the midst of all of this negativity. So why don't some of you just talk a little bit about why you wanted to write Hip Hop Hair and contribute this?
Anyone can join in. And when you speak, just say your name, because there are eight of you all there. And I'm sure my listeners are like, they're trying to keep up with you. So what was the inspiration for the book? Why did you all decide to write this book?
So say your name before you speak.
Yep. Say your name before you speak.
My name is Abigail.
Hey.
And the reason we first decided to, well, the reason I first decided to write the book, everyone decided to write it, but the reason for me was because when I was younger and we were all into fashion, we'd make our own clothes for our Barbie dolls and things like that. So my parents wanted to support us and they brought us the top fashion magazine. And when they brought them, I didn't see any people with color like me in them. So I thought I wasn't the definition of beauty. So then I wanted to be white. But then I told my parents, and they had to talk with all of us and started telling us about our black melanin and how we are powerful. And then I thought I wasn't black enough, because the more melanin you have and stuff like that. But then Mama gave me a motivational speech, and then I love myself, and I love everything about me, and I wouldn't change a thing.
I love the motivational speak. I'm looking at your mother right now. I'm sure your dad has heard a couple of motivational speeches from your mother, too, because I saw the expression on his face. Abigail, you can answer this, and anybody else. How important is it to see yourself in images? Like, how is it important for you all to see yourself in books and magazines and movies? If so, why is that so important for you all to see a reflection of yourself in these magazines and books? Anybody can answer that. Why do you all need to see yourself in books? Is that important to you all and in movies?
Yes.
Why?
Well, it's because we see more people like us, and especially since we are the ones that drew it, and so that's out there.
Now, Mom, you are raising kids with natural hair. I want to come back to the kids in a second. Why? Talk to me about hair with you. You know, why did you decide to wear your hair natural? And then why did you decide for your children to go natural as well?
Well, generally speaking, hair has been just like a staple in the black community for so long, and tracing all the way back to the beginning of time with our African roots. So hair represents so much about a person. It doesn't define the person, but it represents so much. So for me, at different stages in my life, I've, you know, cut my hair all the way off. I've worn my hair bald. I've had an afro. I've even permed my hair, you know, and even when I was younger in the 80s, Jerry curls were big. I had a Jerry curl.
Hold on. I wish you could see your husband's face. He's like, you see, I didn't marry her in the 80s. I waited till she get this stuff out of her hair. Go ahead.
Exactly, right? You know, totally look different now. But natural hair just brings something out of you. It brings on the need to look at yourself in the mirror and everything that you have to offer, and not be able to hide behind the relaxers, the chemicals, and things like that. So we have a lot of hair here. All of them wanted either locks or braids, or they didn't want me to mess with their hair. And then it ended up just naturally locking in many instances. So hair was just something that we thought would be a really cool thing to talk about. And the children just, you know, they decided they wanted to kind of see themselves. And because they do hair so much, it just seemed natural.
So do you all ever get, talking to the kids, do you all ever get teased by your friends outside of your network for having natural hair, for not having this long, silky, shiny hair that looks like other people that are out there? Do you all ever get teased for your natural hair? And if so, how do you typically respond to that for other kids who may be challenged? So anybody can answer that.
Well, when we go outside, we usually don't get teased by children. They're mostly all looking at us like in surprise, like saying, "You guys are so beautiful. Are you guys going to church?" But that's just how we dress all the time.
Now, here's the big thing. talking to my girls. Do y'all let anybody touch your hair?
No.
Oh, I see some heads. Explain the rules of not touching a black girl's hair. Somebody tell me that. I know your mama shared this with you. Explain to me about not letting somebody touch your hair. Who wants to answer that?
Touching my hair and your arm will be broken.
Say your name before you speak.
My name is Elizabeth and I'm 11 years old.
Elizabeth is strong, so somebody's teaching some boxing skills as well. So let's jump into this. I want to talk to Dad before I come back to the kids. Dad, what are your thoughts? You know, looking at these kids, your kids wrote this book, Hip Hop Hair. You have 8 children. You know, how do you feel sitting there with your children? They've done tons of interviews. I'm excited they joined me. What are some of your thoughts about what you're seeing and noticing about your children? And then what do you want other fathers to know who may not be stepping up to the plate for their own children?
Being a gatekeeper, when I see my children, I know that the warfare is imminent and continuous. I mean, you see the articles all the time, you know, stopping wrestling matches, you know, getting expelled from school, not, you know, being reprimanded at work because of the style of your hair. So obviously, it must not be just this menial, you know, frivolous thing. It must have some significant meaning. So when I see them in their hair and them letting their hair be natural, it's them being comfortable with themselves and loving themselves. You know, I mean, why go to all that? The modify your appearance, you know, and what the hair does. I mean, our hair protects us from what, parasites? You know, you see how we swim. Our hair don't actually just soak down and fall on our head. You know, it protects us from the sun, the wind. I mean, it's natural. It's a part of our anatomy. So for us to be ashamed of it and think that we have to modify it, and what are these dress codes and what are these attributes to beauty? Where do they come from? Certainly not from my own culture. I mean, I tell my children all the time. I remember growing up when there was a time when Caucasians didn't like big hips. And they didn't like bass in their music. I said, that's just been in my lifetime. I remember, you know, when Luke was doing that thing, it's like, look at her, you know, look at her butt. You know, that was that, you know, that was done. Look at her, you know. And now, you look on the other side, they taught us to hate everything about ourselves. And now what have they done? They filled up their butts. They filled up their cheeks. They filled up their lips. They filled out their nose. You know, the same nose they cut off in Africa. Off the pyramids and everything, off the Sphinx.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, now, you know, it's like reverse. You know, we get to a place where they guide us in what we should love and what we should like. And then after we hate the things about ourselves, they take it all on. I mean, even if you look at hip hop artists right now, you know, we know the names. We know Jay-Z. We know, you know, Meek Mill and Drake and all them. But if you really look at who sells the most, it's the other side. Like, them artists, you never know. Like, in our community, we never know these guys. But these guys make 10 times the money that we call the perennial chiefs of our concept of never, you know, being under the law, not even being taught to read, now taking a language and manipulating it beyond your servicing now. We add words to your language every day. We modify your language every day. And every day, you're taking it and monetizing it. And then telling us it's negative, then we say it, you know? So, I mean, it's not just a hair thing. It's an identity thing. You know, you talk to despise so much about yourself growing up, and you absolutely shouldn't. You bring everything to the table.
Well, it's interesting hearing, I'm looking at your children's faces and appreciating everything that you're saying with a head nod. You know, your dad is passionate like me about hip hop and about hair. And when you think about your book, and anybody can answer this, you know, what do you want people to know about this book, and what should they expect about talk to me about the process. Like, what should they know about writing a book? What does it mean to sit down and sit down to write this book? And then what do you want people to do once they read your book? So talk to me about the writing process. What was that like?
Go ahead. Anyone talk about it? Maybe Emmanuel, Yaya,
Go ahead.
I saw it just flow. It just kind of flowed, I mean, in a sense. It was continuity. You know, they were playing. I mean, just like if you buy toys, figure action dolls, whatever, for your children now. They play with them, you know, Spider-Man got a personality, the Hulk got a personality. That's how it was. And then they just started, as they became more adept at writing, they just started writing the stories. And then, I mean, the craze of the smartphone, it was like my phone, you know, I'm at work and I'm getting notifications, your new video is up and ready and all. I'm like, what video are you talking about? And it was them, they just started filming, you know, what they were doing, the storylines and drawing them down in books. I never drew, like, never through high school, nothing. I never did any of that. And then the first challenge was probably when I think Abigail was probably like maybe 4 or 5. They would want me to draw eyes all the time. So I would just sit there and draw eyes. And then after a while, I would see them take the eye that I made and then come back and it would be something like beautiful. Like I had a whole face connected to it. Whole face, I just drew the eye. So that's how I kind of grew. And then they just started writing.
So you saw a good flow. Abigail, what about you? What about the process?
Oh, for writing the book?
Yes.
Well, it was mostly like, when we all wrote the book, there's like no arguing. It was just like, you know, it was like peaceful. And when we were writing the book, we had barely no arguments, no like dislikes of people's ideas. It was just like all like flowing. Like someone had an idea, then if two people want to use the same idea, we'll just find a way to put both of them in there.
Mm. Okay, good point. Elizabeth, which one is Elizabeth? Where's Elizabeth? Elizabeth, how was the process for you working with your brothers and sisters?
There wasn't much as fighting as I thought that there would be. And ideas were all over the place.
So talk to me. All right, so talk to me where okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the reading and what the book kind of helped you to do as we were writing it? Go ahead.
I feel sad for the book in 1890s.
Not that specific book, but when you were learning to read.
When you learned this process.
When you read a little bit better.
Okay. Well, back when I was about 5 or 4 years old, I would bought some books. And those books, I wanted to learn how to read because on a lot of YouTube videos, they were posting these videos about how to read and it was getting a lot of likes. So I thought if I could read a book, then I could help Mom and Abba build up money on YouTube.
Okay, I like that. Okay, all right. Where's Sarah?
Well, I hope she wasn't done.
Honestly, keep going. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mommy. Go ahead, coach her through. Go ahead.
So then I decided to pick up some of the books that I bought home and start to read them, but there were way too many words in them. So I gave up on that really quickly, and then a few years later, when I turned about 8, we created the book called Hip Hop Hair, so I decided to give that book a try, and I got more better and better at reading.
Yeah, I like that.
And then the reason I wanted her to share that is because, you know, we have family meetings, and we talk about how the book can kind of help in our community and help other children that are reading the book. So she had the idea that maybe the reading could help other children like it did her, because it's an easy read, you know, it's like fun, and she wanted to kind of share that. So I didn't want her to miss it. So yeah.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Where's Sarah? Which one is Sarah in the back? Sarah? Hey Sarah, how old are you?
7.
So you are 7 years old. When you look at this book that you all completed, hold the book up one more time. Show my listeners the book. Sarah, when you look at that book, what excites you about that book?
That people wouldn't have to change yourself if they look too chubby or skinny.
Wow. Can one of you all share one of the characters in the book? Like, can you give me a name of a character in the book and the type of person that the character is? I see someone next to you, Sarah. It looks like she wants to say something. Can you all tell me about? Yes, there you go. Right there. Mm-hmm. Keep looking at Mommy. Which one is that? Yes.
Go say your name before you speak.
I'm Phoebe. And hey. There was characters in the book, and Abigail and Guy were drawing the book, and they drew Sarah, Judah, and Josh.
Also, your names, you all are actually in the book.
Sarah's in the
pants. Oh, wow. So let me see the book again. Let's hold up the cover. So why the name Hip Hop Hair? Who can answer that? Why the title Hip Hop Hair? Go ahead.
I think that the reason is that we put it on Hip Hop Hair is because you should love the way that your hair is and not try to change it to try to fit in with other people.
Mm. Who are some of you all favorite? I know you all like hip hop. Who you like hip hop music? Now you got your dad. I'm hoping he put you down with some old school artists. Who are some hip hop artists that you all like?
I thought that my father wrote a hip hop song.
Yeah, so he's one of your favorite hip hop artists. So give me some of your favorite.
We actually have a DJ here. So
okay, where's the DJ? Is that the DJ with the hand up?
Yes.
All right, DJ, what's your name, DJ?
My name is Yayo, and I'm 10 years old.
And so you like hip-hop music?
Yes.
Who's your favorite hip-hop artist? You have a lot?
A lot, but okay.
Just give me one. Just give me one.
Well, who do you like to listen to?
Who do you like to listen to?
Tonight for those four girls.
She said Escape.
Oh man, you put him down. I like it. You already you put him down with some old R&B hip hop mixed together. So if I were to open up this book and if I were to read this book, what are some things that I would learn? All right, go ahead, DJ. Go ahead, DJ. What you got to say?
KB.
That's an artist that you like?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So if I were to open up this book and read this book, what are some things I might learn that I might not know? What are some things that I might learn from reading this book? What are some things that the kids are going to learn once they read this book? Anybody can answer that one. What would they learn after reading the book?
To love themselves, mm-hmm. and to be better at reading, like Elizabeth said.
Okay. So you want the young people to read this book to love themselves, to love their hair, to love everything about who they are. Now, what was the hardest, most difficult thing to do when you were going through this process? What was the most challenging thing to do?
Well, for me, it's because when, you know, being an artist, people don't like their arts, other people touching their art. But when I would draw
I felt a little shade right there. I'm going to keep it moving, though. I felt a little shade right
there. We're not going to get into that part.
I felt like some Erykah Badu-ish. I would say what Erykah would say. I'm an artist, and I'm sensitive about my stuff. But I felt a little shade. But I'm going to let you keep going. You see, I got the hand movement. Come on, artist. Keep going. What else you got to say?
Anyway, I'll be drawing different pictures that I thought looked pretty great. But, you know, my mom, she was like, well, you know, right here, if we do it like this, it might make it look better. And, like, she was, like, not, like, saying that she knew how to do it better than me. It's just that she, like, it's just, like, she had ideas. And, like, what her ideas were really great, you know. I just did, like, you know, being told what to do with my hair.
Okay. Who is that to the left of you? Who is that to the left of you, this quiet with the glasses? Yes, who is that?
Emmanuel,
the long soldier right there, the big boy. Emmanuel, how is it working with your sisters through this process? What was that like? Look at your sister's face next to you to the right. What was the process like working with your sisters through this writing of this book? Talk to me, brother.
It was fun.
It was fun?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Pretty cool.
Do they gang up on you, Emmanuel?
Yes.
All the time?
No.
Oh, not all the time. Not all the time. So where can my listeners get a copy of Hip Hop Hair?
Amazon.
Okay, so we can go to Amazon. Now I want to, and you all can decide, can I get one of you all just to read an excerpt? That's a short piece from the book. So can we get a volunteer? And you need to speak loud and proud. So we want to hear an excerpt, just a short excerpt from Is the DJ about to read? Okay, DJ.
Oh, and you, what's your DJ name?
My name is DJ K.
Okay, DJ K. All right. Let's go, DJ K. You're going to read an excerpt from Hip Hop Hair.
Just
you guys, mom and dad, you all can decide where you want them, where you want her to start and begin. And start and end.
Okay, cool. You just read a couple of pages. All right, start from the beginning and then begin, stop. Yeah, cool.
All right, let's go. It's story time right here on Sound Bombing. Go, DJ.
I'm more precious than diamonds, more valuable than gold. I'm hip, I'm hot, my afro don't stop. I'm more than three-fifths of a person. I'm divine, one of a kind, and eternally beyond time. I'm hip, I'm hot, my braids don't stop.
Okay, all right. I see my artists over there going back and forth, swaying back and forth. So you all are poets. Now I want to ask you this question, and I'm hoping that you saw this. I don't know if you all saw when we had the inauguration with a woman who looked like you, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris and also Joe Biden. And there was a poet there. Did you all get a chance to hear this amazing poet? Did the kids get a chance to hear her recite her poetry at all? Well, I want to share that with you because it was amazing. As I'm thinking about her, as she was reciting this poetry, and I'm looking at you all, and I'm looking at what you're able to do as a family. This young lady who's a poet, who Joe Biden had found out about, really his granddaughter had shared with her about her poetry. You never know where your writing is going to go. And I love the fact that you talked about at one time, you know, Black folks weren't allowed to read. They weren't allowed to read. And when they didn't want us to read, they knew that we would escape from slavery. But however, there were some people that did help us to read. And so you all are doing an amazing, amazing job. I wish you much, much success. I'm sure there's so many other questions I can ask you as a whole family. Like, who's always the last one to get up in the morning? Raise your hand. Who's the last one to get up? We got two. Who's the first one to get up all the time? Who's up always before everybody? That one right there. Okay. All right. Who eats the most food in the house?
Oh, my goodness.
My man, who does not eat? Who do you have to force to eat?
Oh, my Phoebe.
The artist. Who is the last, who stays in the bathroom the longest?
Oh my goodness.
Who gets in trouble the most in the house? Who's the smartest in the family?
Uh-oh.
All those hands, oh, there we go. All right, all those hands go up. Okay, all right. Who is the meanest in the family?
Uh-oh.
Me.
Who's the nicest? Who's the nicest one? Who's the best dancer?
Oh, Emmanuel.
Okay, who's the best singer? Who's the best artist? Who draws the best?
Oh my goodness. Abigail.
Okay. Yeah. Who's the most fashionable? Who loves fashion?
Oh, that's all of them.
All right. Well, I appreciate you all for hanging out with me. It has been a blessing. So I want mom and dad to leave us with some final, final, final thoughts about this. It is an honor to see a family of African culture, Black family standing up about literacy, art, about fashion, to let your children know it's great to be literate, to be smart, to be fashionable, to love who you are, to love your Black and brown selves, to love your hips, to love your lips, to love your skin, to love your complexion, to love everything about you. So JFam family, you all are amazing. Mom and dad, you should be proud of yourselves. I'm going to allow you to give us the final thoughts about this process. And for any mom and dad who's out there, who's trying to raise a family, who wants to keep them culturally connected and engaged, and who wants to be creative, provide us with some strategies and then let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you all. Dad and then mom, you want to close out?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the thing that I want to kind of share with parents and children alike is you don't necessarily have to go it alone. If we start as a family unit, and work together, is we can accomplish great things, because there's a wealth of knowledge amongst the people within our households. And basically, I believe we have everything we need within our households to take our families to the next level financially, you know, spiritually, in every area. So in reference to hip hop hair, it actually brought our children together. It gave them something to focus on and work towards. And it took their mind off of a lot of the negative things that were going on in the media, current events and things like that. So it was a way out for them, but it was also a way in to all of the things that they're doing, publishing a best-selling book. Also, they have on their drip. So they have a clothing brand. So their shirts that they're wearing, they drew those. They came up with what they wanted on the shirts. And of course, you know, Dad and I helped them to kind of facilitate the process. But that's what we're here for. And if we as parents continue to do that with our children, you know, the sky is no longer the limit for our people. There's no longer a limit.
So, Dad, talk to me about your background, man. You have eight children that are right there. Beautiful wife who I got a chance to interview. What are some lessons that you learned about how you grew up as a man, where you grew up? You could talk about that. And then how are you sort of imparting some of that information with your own children? Because, you know, we're living in a time where many of our dads are not stepping up to the plate. They just are not. And when people say that to me, I say, well, I don't know who you're talking about, because my network of fathers, we're doing the work. So what are some lessons that you're learning from as being a father, raising these children? And then how did maybe your upbringing help or maybe support you or might not support you in what you're doing for your children?
I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the grind of just providing, you know what I'm saying? And being the resources and being the infrastructure for things. I say the biggest thing is watching them. I've learned more from them than probably they've learned from me, because I see the openness of heart, the openness of mind. You know, when does doubt and insecurity set in a child? Like when, you know, when they children, know they could be anything. They could be astronauts. They could be aliens. They can be superheroes. You know, with them, it never ends until we start putting up the partitions and the barricades and telling them, man, that's foolish, man. That costs too much. You know what kind of effort that takes? So I learned from them that's the same attitude that should be with me, the open-mindedness to go forward. Because no matter what they come into or what they see, what they desire, I'm going to be the first one ground zero to see it happen. So when I look at the children, I say, okay, it's eight of them. They all got aspirations. They all got needs. They all got dreams. Now, why would God bequeath me with eight children and then make the supply less than the demand? So obviously the supply is present. It's something in me that I'm not activating to meet the demand. So when I see them, that's what it does. It energizes me. It infuses me to say that this has to be done. There has to be a way to get it done, because you can't learn the piano on no cardboard box. You know, I got to bring the influential people, the influential sound. I have to bring the piece of equipment. I might even have to bring the professional instruction in to get you to that place. So as a father, I just see it as being an open conduit to know that you can do it. There's no reason for it. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm going to sit back on a rocking chair when I'm, you know, sapped of all my strength, and I'm going to say, you know, the reason I couldn't get there for you is because I just refused to expand. You know, the reason I couldn't meet your need or meet your dreams is because, you know, wasn't nowhere else for me to turn. I mean, I'm going to do that eight times? That's misery.
You know, it's funny. It's funny when you said eight, man. I'm thinking about the show Eight is Enough, and I'm sure you remember the show Eight is Enough. There was no black folks on Eight is Enough, and you all are a living example of Eight is Enough. You all have so much joy and so much love. It's so challenging for many people during this time during COVID. I think Emmanuel has his hand up. Emmanuel, what you got to say? Or was that a stretch?
No, that was one.
He
didn't
speak.
He is. He's thinking.
Go ahead. Let him process.
Right.
Embrace your daughter, brother, sister, anyone, your family, and let them know they're not alone in this world.
Yeah. But go ahead, Emmanuel. Keep going.
Let them know you do anything to protect them.
And that's important. So what I'm hearing you say, Emmanuel, you're learning that from from your parents, and you all are a reflection of your parents. We know folks are quarantined with their kids. People are sick. People looking for creative things to do. This is a great way to do it. Getting your kids to write, getting your kids to engage. What other advice do you all have for parents who have their children home 24/7 because of quarantine, because of things that are going on? Mom, dad, you have any advice? But I think our youngin' over here has some advice. You got some advice for some parents or some children? Go ahead.
Elizabeth. I am Elizabeth.
Go ahead, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Any children who are watching this right now, I just want to say that love and respect your parents, because you never know when they'll have to leave your life. Because when they leave your life, they won't be coming back. So love them and take care of them and stop treating them like they're absolute trash.
I love that. So mom and dad, you heard Emmanuel and you heard Elizabeth. What are your thoughts about when you hear your children say the things that they say? Because I know some of y'all, you said, because I have kids, you're like, man, I've been trying to get that through their head for 80 years and this there. Because sometimes we don't see it in the present. So how did you feel hearing that from your kids right there in real time?
Well, I try and like prepare them for the podcast or the live shows that we're on. And none of these answers are like what we went over. So they're all from the heart. They're honest and they're fresh. You know, it's just authentic. And I truly appreciate it because, you know, day in and day out, you don't get all the time get to see exactly what's on a person's mind and heart, even though you live with them. So it's wonderful to know that, you know, they have been divinely blessed and anointed for a time such as this.
Great way to end the show. You heard it. You heard it right here on Sound Bombing. J-Fam Johnson in the building, the authors of many books, but we're talking about hip hop hair. Listen, this is your man, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I want to thank my engineer as well, Alexander Blanc, my super duper producer, Nicole Klimpaka, Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. If you want to know more about me, go to drdrlds.com. Make sure you subscribe, pick up what I'm doing. I'm on every platform. Stop being stingy and share me with your friends. But as always, believe that something wonderful is about to happen, but some people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mess. Not you. You've been listening to Sound Bombing. J-Fam Johnson, goodbye. Take care. Peace.
Goodbye.